the love of God. And perhaps nothing touches your heart more than the love of a child and receiving a child. This is Amos James. And, you don't see a child until they're born. And yet the moment that child's born, love springs up in your heart. Isn't that right? Just something happens. And it's interesting. The Bible says what? Children are a gift from the Lord. And I think about this, and you might have to correct my theology, but one of the things I think when God gives us children is He gives us children as a gift of His love, and we experience love in a way that, even as unbelievers, that we can't see any other way. And it touches even the unbeliever who says, there is no God, who at the birth of a baby, I can't comprehend how you can think that. But who says that, and yet when they receive that child, there's a love that flows out from your heart, and there's a recognition of something precious has been given. And yet when we talk about the love of God, one of the things that's amazing is to think about that God not only gives us our children, but God gave us His Son. And I love this family. You can't have my son, and you can't have my grandson. And the concept that God would love us so much that He would allow His Son, born like a baby, to die in our place, it's really beyond comprehension for me. And so it is what I call an amazing love. I want to talk to you about that today. What does it mean to understand the amazing love of God? Because His love reaches out to us in ways that we can't comprehend unless actually He says we receive it as a child. Isn't that right? There's so many pictures that God has chosen to give us in the Scriptures through children that I think it softens your hard heart. There's a crowd out there, isn't there? And I think there's something else that happens when we think about God loving us and His amazing love. Because when Amos and I were having a little early time this morning before the rest of the family got up, and one of the things that comes when you wonder about the love of God is, will He accept me when I'm a mess? And as I was going over my sermon this morning, and Amos and I were hanging out, some other things began hanging out, if you know what I mean. And, the interesting thing, while I looked at the mess that he was making, I didn't appreciate the mess. I still love the person. Can you understand that? I think sometimes as believers and as unbelievers, when we think about the mess that we make in our lives, all we can see is spit up. All we can see is this disaster that we have made, and not recognize that real love will see beyond that and will be able to appreciate the value of life. And God gives us this life. I'd like you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. I want to talk to you about this. In 1 John chapter 4, he said, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God sent his Son to love us because we needed a Savior to deal with our sin issues. We all know we're not all we could be. We all know that we have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that sometimes is apparent to us. What's not apparent is that the love of God extends to those in that condition. And I think sometimes the way people have talked about his love is they haven't recognized that that love extends to people who are a mess. One of the reasons we put that sign out there before you even come in the door, it says, you know, come as you are, no perfect people allowed, because there are no perfect people, are there? We have a perfect Savior. And so he has told us, he says, I want you to know my love. And he sent his Son. But in this verse, it's interesting. We have that statement where it says, where God is love. And so I want you to see this first principle. God is love, generously poured out on us through Jesus Christ. He gave his Son. Not just as an act of love, but as love itself. That there was something in the gift of a person that was saying, I'm not just giving you something nice, I'm giving you love itself. Do you fathom that difference? I think oftentimes we think about God and it's hard for us, you know. But he says here that, let us love one another, for love is what? From God. When you experience love, it is from God. All right? And everyone who loves is what? Born of God. It is a relational thing. And the interesting thing, as soon as a child is born, you begin this relationship, don't you? In fact, you actually start it even beforehand. Some of you, when you get that chance. But there is this relationship that you begin trying to bond, and a grandparent like myself will like hanging out with a little guy like this. He's so mellow and cool. You know, your dad wasn't this mellow. But love flows from relationship with God. And when we receive that concept, okay, we can begin opening ourselves up to receive his love. Because just because somebody loves you doesn't mean you receive it. Do you know what I'm talking about? That knowing God loves you and trusting God's love for you is not the same. And many people have affirmed the love of God, but never trusted the love of God. They haven't stepped into a relationship with God. And they've heard that God is love. They know that there's a God who is loving. But they're not into a relationship with that God. And so when I think about that, over here in this eighth verse, he puts that contrast there and says that the one who does not love does not know God. For God is love. I want to give you a thought today. This idea that if you lack love in any relationship, you lack an understanding of God in that relationship, or what God's wanting to display in you and through you in that relationship. Are you guys hearing anything I'm even saying this morning? You're stealing the show, baby. Thanks, Amos. When the Bible says to us that God is love, it's not saying God is loving, even though he is. It's saying God is the essence of and the expression of love in this life. And so if you're going to experience God in this life, it has to come through a heart of love, a response of love, a reception of love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent His only Son into the world so we might live through Him. You could also say that we might love through Him. That's His plan for us. And so God loves you. Now I'm going to offend some of you this morning. Okay, can I do that? God loves you not because of you, but because of Him. His love for you is because He is love, not because you're cute. See? I mean, you guys look at Amos and you go, ah, you know, and you feel like there's an affection that naturally goes out to cuteness. Isn't that right? But you and I know there's times in our lives we don't look cute, act cute, smell cute, nothing. We are ugly in the way we choose to live life, in the way we choose to dishonor God. And in that place of filth, of ugliness, of rejection, of disobedience, of sin, in that place, God is still and always will be love to you. And so that is why we can rest assured of the security of God's love, because God's love is poured out to you not because you are lovable, but because He is love itself. And why I said that might be insulting is because some of you think you've managed to get God to love you because you're doing a little better, and so He loves you a little more. You can enjoy the love of God better when you're walking with Him. You know, I always enjoyed the love of my parents better when I walked in obedience with my parents. Because if I wasn't walking in obedience with my parents, then I was experiencing their love in different ways. You know what I'm talking about. But I was still experiencing the love of God. And here's the scary thing, is we have a world who's deciding what God is like based on their experience rather than the revelation of the Word of God. Based on their interpretation of their experience rather than the Word of God. And the Word of God says God is love. And so when we wrestle with the question that says, am I good enough? The answer is, no, you're not. But He is good enough. And He sent His Son to be good enough for us, to pay that price. And so He revealed His love to us because love gives. As Ernie was sharing here just a moment ago, you know, comes to Valentine's Day, and what do? They give. And I mean, it's a part of our commercialized culture, but you don't have to buy into that aspect of it to be a loving person. You will still find a way to give, you know. We were talking about that last night in our story when I began to share my heart towards my wife and she began to run the other direction. You know, pretty scary thing when your best friend begins to hide from you. Okay. And yet then I had to find ways to give a message to her, whether she was receiving the message the way I wanted. Because there was a great challenge, I think, for me, and I think it's the same for us, is that will you be love whether you are loved back or not? That's the challenge we face. If it doesn't feel like love back to you, are you still going to be loving? And He was loving to us even though we weren't loving back to Him. He said, by this love of God was manifested in us that God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And I think there's a challenge sometimes today because people look at it and say, you know, well, if God loves me, how come He let this happen? And how come He let this happen? And how come He let this happen? And how come He let this happen? I'm going to tell you one thing. I can't explain why he let some things happen. But I can't explain this. God loved his son, and he let him be crucified by us. For what? For good. For good. For something good to be accomplished. And when God is allowing painful things in your life, I'm here to say there is still a loving God behind that who wants good to come out of that, even though sometimes it comes out of brokenness and tragedy. Because that's what sin brought into this world. And so he says this in that 10th verse. He says, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Friends, it's a scary thing to think that love's conditional on you. But your receiving love is conditional on you. God can pour that love over you and you can not be enjoying it. Sometimes God pours love over us like a nice deep cold fog here in January. That's part of his love for his world, isn't it? But sometimes we're not so appreciative of that. Now, if you were a redwood tree, you're appreciating that. It absorbs the moisture right out of that fog. That's part of how it gets its strength and its life. But there's things that God pours into our lives that we don't always welcome as a manifestation of love. And so Jesus was sent to earth on a mission, okay, on assignment. You know what I find is interesting? Is the stuff that God reveals to us, because there's so much about the story of Christ, even though we've got four Gospels, that we just never hear. And yet there are key pictures and key points where he brings something out. And one of them was the baptism of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was baptized, and it's always a funny thing to some people because they look at that and go, well, why did Jesus have to get baptized? Because he'd never sinned, so he wasn't being baptized into repentance. He was being identified as who he was by the prophet who had been sent before him. But do you remember what his father said to him when he came up out of the water? In Matthew 3:17, read this with me. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What had Jesus done in ministry for his Father at that point in time? Nothing. And what was Father? Well pleased. Because Father's pleasure in his children is in their relationship with him, not their performance for them, for him. It's not that he doesn't enjoy the performance, but the issue of his love is not based on performance. It's based on his heart for you. And so we see the Son identified as one who is beloved, who God is well pleased with, even though he hasn't performed for his Father. And I find it interesting that we wrestle with this issue. He says that we might live through him. Do you wrestle with the issue? Do you receive the fact that the Father who said that about his only Son actually says that about you, his son, his daughter? Because if your faith is in him, where's his son? His son is in you. This is the approval of the Father for us. This is my beloved son. You are God's beloved child in whom he is well pleased. And as I say that, I see some of your foreheads wrinkle. And I'm not talking about age here. We wrestle with that truth, don't we? Because pleasingness with God is tied up with performance for God. But you're still back to this thought. Do you love your child when they misperform? Of course you do. Of course you do. You don't love the misperformance. You don't love disobedience, but you still love the child. And that's how Father feels towards you. And he came as God's representative. As Ernie said there in John 1:14, to manifest God. He became a manifestation of the Father to us. And so now think about this. So he's lived his life. He's about to die his death. He's in the upper room. He's with his disciples. And he's talking to them. He's sharing his heart. It's in John 15, verse 9. And we see this statement given by Jesus Christ to his disciples. Would you read it with me? Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Is that sobering, amazing thought? Just as the Father has loved me. So the Father loves the Son with this absolute perfection, with this amazing, intimate relationship. He says, the love that I have, that the Father has for me, is the same love I have for you. Abide in that. Now, it's interesting. He could have just stopped right there. And it says, but now what he has to give us this encouragement. That, would you please live there? Because I don't know about you, but I can move out of the experiential understanding of the love of God pretty quick in a day. And you can feel so displeasing to God. And you can feel so disappointing to God. And you can step into shame. You guys know what I'm talking about? Shame. But the Son who came died not only for your sin, but that he might bear your shame for God. That you would find yourself knowing that you're loved by the Father and you're loved by the Son. That there's an amazing love that is poured out on us. But your capacity for giving love is determined by your ability to be receiving love. In the economy of God, receiving his love comes before you're able to be giving his love. Because if you haven't received it, guess what? You ain't got nothing to give. See? It's because we are not our own well. And so the love of God is this gift of grace. That's what you see in verse 10. He says, in this is love. Not that we love God. Why is he bringing this out? Don't you ask that question when you're studying your Bible? Well, why did he write this? Why did he say that? That's how I discover truth. So I'm just sharing with you some of the process I'm going through. Why did he say that? Because he wants you to know it's not your loveliness that makes God love you. It's not how amazing you respond to God that makes God love. Now, God enjoys a hug just like you and I enjoy a hug. Isn't that right? God enjoys praise. He talks about that. Thank me. Praise me. Enjoy. Because he enjoys entering into that kind of relationship with you. But his love for you is not determined by your love for him. Praise God. Amen? Praise God. And so he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Friends, he initiated the love. He paid for the sin. Acceptability is accomplished by cleansing. So when I put my faith in the Son, I know I'm acceptable to him. And so I'm welcome to him. There was a time with my oldest, we were in Nevada, back in the days when you were allowed to have walkers with wheels on them. You know, they took the wheels off. Some of your grandparents don't know that, but they don't let wheels on walk. You know, a kid could just cruise around and do anything and go downstairs and stuff that they're not supposed to do, you know. But we were sitting outside at church one day, and my oldest son was there with me, and I put him in his little walker so he just could scoot around while I was talking to people as they were coming out of church. And, you know, somebody's got the preacher's attention for a moment, and the boy takes off on his scooter. So he goes right off the sidewalk and flips it in a downpour. Face plants himself into a puddle. So I go running over there, grab him, pull him out, and of course he's not a happy camper. And so you pull him out of the walker and you're holding him. And what does he want? He wants a hug. I'm standing there in a three-piece suit. You know? That's where most of us feel like we are, at arm's length from God. And he couldn't possibly hug us because we're so dirty. But the thing I want to tell you is that because of the gift of his Son, the one who took your propitiation, he took the wrath of God for you on himself. Because of that, you and I can be hugged even though we know we've fallen into the dirt. You can still be hugged by God because he's already cleansed you. His blood cleanses us from most of our sins. Is that what the Bible says? From all. That, friends, there's stuff that you're still wrestling with. Why? It says all. Listen, when we receive this, something happens. Because it's faith in the Son that gives us acceptance as sons. That's where that acceptance comes from with the Father, is knowing that I'm acceptable because of his Son. And Joseph R. Cork, who I don't even know who he is, but I love this quote. He says, "Grace is a face that love wears when it meets imperfection." There's a grace. It's not what I deserve. He graces us. And so I want you to be encouraged that God has a plan for you, and there's nothing that you can do to separate yourself from the love of God. You can separate yourself from the enjoyment of the love of God. You can separate yourself from being able to welcome the love of God. But it's still pouring out. There's that whole section at the end of Romans chapter 8 that is just so amazing. It says, "For I am convinced that neither height nor depth nor any other created thing, nor death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, what can separate us from the love of God." Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Why? Because the Son paid a sacrifice that completely took anything that you can ever do on himself so that you won't be separated. But your heart can hold on to your sin, and your shame can keep you from letting God hug you. Does that make sense? You've all had relationships. Every family's got some awkward ones. True story? And there's relatives that you see, and when you see them, you give them a great big hug. And there's relatives you see, when you see them, you say hello. And you know that they're not going to hug you back. And whatever their issue is, it's there, and there's this space there. And it may not be because you don't love them. It's just they're not willing to receive it. And so, friends, there is this thought here in these verses that we, when we welcome him, are then given his love into us. Look how it's put over here in verse 11. He says, "Beloved," now you just read that word and we just go right by it. Isn't that right? If you've read your Bible a bit, sometimes we just go blowing by these words. But friends, that is an amazing title that you're given. Beloved. You are the beloved of God. You are the one that he devotes himself to. You may be in a place where you feel like, I wish there was somebody who thought I was beloved. There is. His name is God. And he loves you. He says, "Beloved." What? Notice this. If God so loved us. Is it an if? No, it's a since. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. By this we know we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. Because there is this relationship we can have with God and His love. All right? You are beloved. He says, so now if God loves you, you ought to love one another. Is that a new truth to anybody, that you're supposed to love one another? I mean, that is not new stuff. I realize I'm just preaching old stuff here, but I want to show you something. When you receive the love of God, you have all you need to love others. Receiving God's love provides believers all the love they need to love somebody else. You don't need a response from anybody else to be a loving person. You have God's love in you. You are loved. If you are loved, you have love to give away. And the amazing thing of God's math is, no matter how much love He pours on you and you pour out on others, you are still experiencing the filling of the love of God. You know, I got up this morning and I was tired. I felt very poured out after last night. But what I believe is there's a God who pours in even as I pour out. And here's the awesome thing is God can pour in faster than you can pour out. Are you with me on that? And so I just take a choice of faith and say, I can do this. It doesn't mean we don't tire. It doesn't mean we don't need rest. It doesn't mean we don't have to draw boundaries around our investment in people sometimes. But friends, you have the love you need to give the love He calls you to. And this is so, so important. He says, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, so that means God gives you His love to share His love. It's not given for you just to keep and have this little private party. It is to given to you to express to others. He poured out His love into us. Why? So that we can pour out His love into others. So whatever He pours into you, whatever God gives you, by the way, if you study the Scriptures, He gives you to share. He gives you to share that love. He wants you to pour that out for others. Over in Romans chapter 5, it says that the love of God is poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us, Romans 5:5. It is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So when I put my faith in Christ, God put His love into me. From that moment on, I have the love of God. Question is, will I love people with the love of God? Because you can love them with something else. We can love people to get something. I know you've never known anybody to do that, but there's some of that manipulation thing that we can do. We can love people with pretend love, isn't that right? Oh, you look so lovely today. And you turn and walk away and go, what was she thinking wearing that outfit? Yeah. We fake love all the time. What I'm calling you to understand is that you can faith love all the time. Because you have a God who pours into you, and you can pour that back out onto others because you're already loved. You're already secure. You don't have to wrestle with the insecurities. That's why we can be transparent with one another, because it doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what He thinks. So when I get that through my heart, I can tell you stuff that I don't like about myself, or I don't like about what I've done, and I'm okay because He's already taken care of that. It gives power to your testimony, friends, to relish the love of God, to welcome, all right, this love. Because if if you have God in you, you have all the love you ever need. All the love you ever need. Now, understand this. We who believe have the love we need, but we don't produce it. We express it. All right? We don't work it up. We pour it out. And so in any given situation, how do I know what I ought to do? Well, I have to come back to the Word of God. What does He tell me love looks like in this situation? Because when you have a disobedient child, love doesn't look like indulgence. It looks like discipline. Isn't that right? When you have someone whose heart is broken, love doesn't look like firmness. It looks like softness and compassion. In different circumstances, love will look completely different. And so what we have to do to say what would God's love look like is come back to the Word and say, how did Jesus do that? That's why I tell you, stay in the Gospels. I read in the Gospels all year round. Because I just want to keep feeling, sensing, and knowing this is how Jesus lived. Now, I'm reading in the epistles, I'm reading in the Old Testament prophets, in the historical books as well. But I'm always wanting to soak in the Gospels because I just want to get that feel for Jesus. Because when the woman who was caught in adultery was dragged into that public square, thrown down in His midst and said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery, the Bible says, the law says, she should be stoned. What do you say? And Jesus said, well, God really doesn't care about that. It's okay. He can just go her way. Is that what He said? But do you see the truth and the love and the compassion in the direct words of Christ, friends? This is God speaking. When He first of all exposes the sin of all who wanted to condemn her, you know, he who has no sin, let him cast the first stone. So as long as you guys are without the need for stoning, go ahead and do a stoning. And so at that point, they all come under conviction and they leave. Jesus isn't done. He then turns to the woman and says, did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. What's He bringing home? There's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Oh man, do we need that message. So He brings home that. And then, but yet, what does He tell her? Go and sin no more. How judgmental of Jesus. He said, sin no more. You were sinning. Yes, He did say that, friends. The love of God calls us to walk out of sin because God knows what sin does to you is destructive. So any instruction in here that tells you don't is given to you because God knows if you do it, it will destroy you. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, I came that you might have abundant life. Are you with me? And so the love of God is given to us in the Word of God through the commands of God to say, this is how you walk out love. It's not always a hug. And so He says this, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. And His love is perfected in us. He says, no one's seen the Father. He's Spirit. He says, and yet, what? When you love somebody else, He says, God lives, expresses Himself. He abides. He dwells. In that moment, you are expressing God to people around you. Are you with me? He says, so when I choose to show whatever the Word declares I'm to show in that moment, in that place, God is expressed. God is revealed. All right? So, and then He says this, and His love is perfected. Now, some of you are thinking, test. Okay, well, then I passed the test. But actually, the concept there is completed. And it's fully expressed by that perfection. He says, so God's love is fully intended to be fully expressed through you so that somebody else will see God in you. Isn't that a beautiful opportunity? So here's the deal. Let me talk about this in a couple practical ways. Turn to the, if you, we won't go there. I'm going to go there. All right, you can follow later. Ephesians chapter 5 says, husbands, what? No, yeah, ladies, you don't get to talk. I'm talking to the men. Because you don't want the men quoting their section, your section back to you, isn't that right? Okay, so what's it say, husbands? Love your wives as Christ also loved the church. He says, you, get this, guys, this is heavy. You love your wife like, just as Christ. He says, you are to be the love of Christ to your wife. That's what you're to be, Christ. He has put you in her life so that she would know how much Christ loves her by how much you love her. Is that heavy, guys? That's heavy. That's an awesome opportunity. And wives, he says, you respect your husband as the church submits herself to Christ. He says that you're going to have that response that's going to reveal Christ to your husband, and it's going to show him that he is cherished, that he is respected, that he is valued by the Father by the way that you respond to him. And you get to show Jesus to each other. And here's the awesome thing. As you show Jesus to each other, I'm going to guarantee you something. The world will notice, because that is not how it's lived out there. You get a chance to reveal Christ to the world through your relationships. And so we can take each of the commands of Scripture and it says, fathers do this, and mothers do this, and it says, neighbors do this, and church members, one another, do this. And so in your small group, every act of love, there's a demonstration of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is in you as the Holy Spirit expressing himself through you so that people would know that he is still loving today. Amen? I remember when we were writing our phrase, I'd been here at the church, I think, less than a year. I called a sign maker, and I had this little quote I was going to have him put on a sign. And it says, I'm loving as Jesus loved. And I'll never forget it. David Pylant said, never met the man before. He says, well, my Jesus is still loving. I'm sitting on the phone going, what? He said, well, yeah, he loved. That's past tense. He says, my Jesus is still loving. And so actually our phrase became, loving as Jesus loves. He is still loving us, isn't he? It's not just that he loved us once upon that cross. He's loving us now. And he's loving us through each other. When you come, one of the reasons we do this crazy little greeting thing, all right, which I know some of you introverts are not particularly thrilled by, okay, but one of the reasons we do this little thing is because I want every person who comes to experience an encounter with Jesus Christ through somebody other than the preacher. That they will know the love of Christ, that they will find that greeting, that they will, because that's what it says, greet one another with the love of Christ. That they will find that acceptance, they will find that knowledge that God loves them, that no one would ever come through the door of this building and not know that Jesus loves them. Not just because the preacher said so, but because they experienced it. And that's what would happen each time someone steps into your home, each time someone steps into your business, that you would be a manifestation of the love of Christ. Friends, think about this. We experience the love of God in some of its greatest way by loving as he loves. So often we get it all turned around and say, oh, love me, love me, love me, love me. He said, I told you to go love. When you go love somebody else, you get a loving feeling. You get an expression. And so some time ago, I talked to you about this idea that we, by choice, allow the Spirit to flow through us. Remember us talking about that? And I brought a little faucet valve. Now look down here at this next verse. It says, in the 13th verse, he says, and by this we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit. Understand this, friends. When it comes to your life, Jesus wants you to open up your heart and let his Spirit flow through you. But I want you to understand this. When His Spirit is flowing through you, for me anyway, this is when I sense some of the greatest depth of the love of Christ. Is right now, as I'm speaking to you, this is a fulfilling thing for me because I feel His love being poured out for you. There's times when I pray for somebody and you lay hands on somebody and I can feel His love flowing out of me into them. When we love like He loves, we will feel and experience His love. Does that make sense? So, if His love is in you, let it flow out from you because God intends for love to be overflow. Because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And I believe you could actually, you know, it wasn't in the Greek, but in the English, it'd be the fruit of the Spirit is love, colon, revealed as patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You want to know what love looks like? That is what love looks like. It will respond with patience. Oh, that's a good one for us husbands to practice, isn't it right? You say you love her? I've had men talk to me about how angry they are with the woman they love. I just want to claw her eyes out, I had a guy telling me one time. And I read that passage back to him. I says, how is that love? He goes, no, you don't understand. I really, no. I says, no, you're not loving. That's called lusting. You're lusting to be in power and control over this person. That's not love. Because love will show up as patience. Love will show up as kindness. Love will show up as gentleness. If there's any abusiveness in your words or in your hands or in your attitudes, it is not love. Because that flows from the Spirit. And that's what love comes from. And so He is love. And so He gives love. And we were told that when the Spirit comes, out of your innermost being will flow, what? Rivers. Rivers of living water. Friends, some of you got it tightened down to a trickle. Open it up. Say yes to God in whatever situation He's put you in. And that yes might be, I will forgive. Because you can't keep loving if you won't keep forgiving. And I'm here to tell you, God has put somebody into your life that you're going to have to forgive more than once. Because He wants you to get it about the forgiveness. And so you have to keep forgiving. You have to keep releasing. But this is an awesome thought to me. If the God who is love resides in you, and love will flow out of you. It has to. So He says down here in that 19th verse, we love, why? Because He first loved us. We love because He first loved. So all of the love you can have because He gave it to you. And you'll never lack love in any situation. When you're feeling totally drained out, when you're feeling totally frustrated, you need to figure out, what does love look like right now? What has the Word told me? Because I have adequate supply. I have Christ. Amen? So, wrapping up, I'm calling you to believe that He loves you. Believe His love. All right? But believing and saying, yeah, I know God's a loving person. That is a very important thing. But friends, there also is the receiving His love. You say, thank you for loving me. If you're not giving God thanks, you're not receiving His love. That's one of this whole other sermon, but that's this other thing. Is that the way you experience and understand that you're loved is the gratitude back to God. I have found my gratitude journal makes me feel loved. Because I'm recognizing how God's pouring it out when I write down things about what He's done in my life. And then by all means, share His love. Share His love. He gave you love so that you give it to somebody else so that they would know God loves them because He does. Amen? Yes. Father, thank you so much for loving us so much. Thank you for such amazing love. Such a basic truth that I still so need to get. Would you allow me to keep drawing freely from the well of your Spirit? Would you allow us, Father, in our stifled marriages, in our broken parenting, in our frustrated grandparenting, would you allow us to draw back to the well of your forgiveness and pour out that forgiveness on those around us? Don't let us be quenched. Let us be an ever-flowing artesian well of your love. Oh, Father, let us water the deserts that we're living in, that people might know that you love them because we love them. So this week, Lord, I'm praying as we are put in those painful, frustrating, energy-draining circumstances, we would look to you and love as you love, because you're with us always, loving us. Jesus' name.